It's been unseasonably warm here at the beach. Went out and walked on the sand today. Took a little walk down to the jetty, turned around, came back. And, which, you know, kind of my, that's my homage to staying, you know, exercising, right? I used to run it. Now I don't run it. I just kind of walk it, man. But I'll get back to running it again. But so, you know, all of this shit that's been happening, man, and how do I fit that stuff into a show, you know? You know, it seems like everybody, by the way, every time you fucking turn around, there's somebody, quote, pranking someone. There's prank fucking websites. I mean, there's whole fucking websites devoted to, quote, prank. Where the word prank, I came up with the word crank. Crank call, crank somebody. But they turned that into prank, you know. So anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, well, everything is like prank this, prank that, The Onion, you know, and that's fine. But I don't know where anybody figures in a million fucking years how, you know, you can run a radio talk show these days doing what we did now with all the fucking ability to go online and figure out whether things are real or whether they're fake or whether this is true, whether this isn't, you know. The changing nature of talk show callers, really, really funny. But I was listening to something. I wasn't listening to it. I was talking to somebody who had told me about some sort of a prank website devoted to bullshit source material for term papers, you know, and suckering certain students into buying into. I can't imagine any student that goes online for research purposes being so. I mean, any student worth their fucking weight. I mean, I don't know. There may be some people that are, you know, just sort of remedially challenged or you know, have a real, you know, brain problem. But I can't imagine anybody with you know, relatively got their shit together who's going to go online and do research for a term paper and you know, hit on some site and just start, you know, buying into this shit. And if they do, I guess they deserve to get fucked over. But but I mean, it's like all of these areas are being worked, you know. So we're gonna have to get back to the good old April Fool's joke. But the media as the primary you know, originator and trigger of these pranks, man, I think that shit is like fucking done personally. But all right, now we have Islam, and I was thinking about Tom Catton, my health wagon guy. This is Tom Catton's health wagon, and welcome to the Islam Hour. I'm doing this. A lot of people don't want me to do the Islam Hour because they think it's going to be, but you know, I don't know if I'm gonna, because they just think the Islam Hour, I think, is great. What do you think? It's well, there's a lot of things we can do with it. I know there's a lot of people who are dead. A lot of people are dead. And we don't want that. And the other thing, Raj Fanin. Raj, what do you think?
Well, I'm...
Raj, what do you think?
Well, for me, this is not, it's not funny, you know.
For me, it's not...
That's it. Raj, what do you think?
For me, it's not funny at all, you know. You're not getting... I don't think you're getting your money's worth. For me, this is not okay. These bastards are going to take your words. They're going to twist this out of proportion, you know, and you're not going to have a... It's not amusing. It's not entertaining, you know?
Why isn't it? If we do an Islam Hour...
Yes, I heard your Islam Hour. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good.
All right, well, that was just my idea, to do the Islam Hour. What do you think, Benny?
I don't know. I'm sort of torn. I don't know. You know, I'm very much torn. I think maybe it's a good idea, but I
see. I don't think there's really anything there. It's just Oh man. Thank you. had a conversation today with some friends of mine, and it's a conversation I've had before with people. And he said, look, I get it that not all Muslims are bad people. I get that. And I totally agree with that. And I totally understand that, and I conduct my life with that in mind. So, but however, that's all we fucking hear about, man. Every time one of these goddamned outrageous things happens, we're reminded, remember, not all Muslims are bad people. We understand, what the fuck is the Muslim community doing? I mean, this is originating in the Muslim world. So for the very first time in my life, very liberal friends of mine, liberal, I mean, these are progressives, man. There isn't an issue that you can name that they don't fall down squarely on the progressive side. And these guys are saying, at what fucking point do I stop being reminded that not all Muslims are bad? And we look at the Muslim community and we go, well, what the fuck are you motherfuckers doing about this shit? This is originating in your goddamn fucking world, in your religion, in your mosques, in your community. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you gotta understand, you know, every time you say something, we have so many extreme, hateful pieces of shit in this country that go out like that. That one motherfucker, I think they made a movie out of this piece of shit's life. I don't know why. I don't give a fuck if he repented and he became a sweetheart. And a Muslim guy, he became friends with the very man whose eye he put out with a fucking shot to the head. And this man whose eye he put out had the grandiosity and the magnanimity of character to turn this man into a friend and to talk to him. And he got to understand what Islam was. And when he went to the death house and they finally dropped a fucking pill on this piece of shit or whatever they did to him, gave him the joy juice, he said, well, you know, I've changed my ways. Well, isn't that great? You know, I'm really happy. I think that that kind of work is great. But the fact of the matter is, those motherfuckers are by the bushel in this fucking country. And God knows if you start talking the way I'm talking here, which is, you know, at what point do we hold the Muslim community responsible? Those guys use that as just one more bullet in their holster, in the holster of self-righteousness, when they eventually do fucking lose it and go out and do what that guy did. So they're no better. No fucking better. Same pieces of shit. Like, the fucking world needs this, you know? But it was very interesting and quite refreshing, if you want my honest opinion, because I, you know, I've had to suffer this shit from a lot of my friends for a long time when they talk about, you know, not all Islamists. And this essay that I read that a friend of mine did send me, and it was this essay that really had them talking. It's fine. It's a, you know, pretty typical progressive essay. I'll give it to you. You guys look it up, okay? It's on Mediapart. I believe Mediapart is a French news journal, and it is written by Olivier Tonneau, T-O-N-N-E-A-U. He's an Englishman. He writes this in English. On Charlie Hebdo, a letter to my British friends. I wonder if he he's a Frenchman living in the United Kingdom, and he is a Muslim. But the article talks about what a friend to the Muslim community the Charlie Hebdo magazine really was, what a friend to the immigrant community the Charlie Hebdo magazine really was, what a friend to progressive causes, what a friend to anti-racists and all of the things. In other words, we would call the humanist issues, you know, that I would hope we're all in agreement on. I mean, I'm not, regardless of what you think about immigration, you know, we want to believe that decent people do not have a problem with the race or nationality of individuals en masse. I mean, you take people as people, right, as individuals. Even if a guy is the citizen of a piece of shit country, say like Syria, that guy I'm not going to indict as some kind of fascist until I get to know him. Maybe he's a refugee. He wants out of that motherfucking mess. Who knows? All right, so he says, just as the Christian religion caused an enormous lot of problems in the West for centuries, problems which were not always peacefully resolved, Islam has caused enormous problems in the Muslim world to a lot of people, too. Anywhere in the world, the space for individual rights has always had to be opened by rolling back religion a few miles. That's a great fucking statement. Anywhere in the world, the space for individual rights has always had to be opened by rolling back religion a few miles. This gentleman is writing in this media part. And this is something that the Muslim world has begun doing as early as the 19th century with difficulties not dissimilar to those experienced in the Christian world. For those who would like to explore the parallel, I recommend the book Beyond Islam, an excellent book. They may have started in the 19th century, but Islam exists in far more primitive societies, in autocratic societies, in societies ruled by monarchs and by dictators and by every form of repressive government. Christianity has come up in far more liberal societies, under far more liberal governments. And as a result, Christianity has been able to grow a lot faster than Islam. Islam is still dealing with shit the way the Christians did in much more, you know, violent and primitive times. Much as it offends the Edward Said version of cultures as bound to devour or be devoured, the Nahda was fueled by ideas developed by European thinkers and enthusiastically endorsed by local students and intelligentsia. And before you accuse me of Western paternalism, let me stress two things. This is a guy that's fallen all over himself to apologize to his Muslim friends and his liberal friends, because God knows he doesn't want to say anything that is even the least bit complimentary to the West. He even finds himself quoting George Bush here, and he apologizes for that. You know, why don't you just be a fucking man and say what you got to say and quit fucking apologizing? Nonetheless, the guy is saying some good shit. The idea of liberalizing Muslim, liberalizing Islam and liberalizing, hence, the Muslim world, okay, was fueled by ideas developed by European thinkers and enthusiastically endorsed by local students and intelligentsia. The only reason why it says European thinkers is because of that whole, the liberal society and liberal governments under which Christianity was able to, it was because the democratization of the world took root in modern times among European people, or, you know, the European colonies, at least the democratization that we recognize today in global sense. All right, so, and before you accuse me of Western paternalism, let me stress two things. First, ideas developed by European thinkers are not Western ideas. The anti-colonial movement referred to Marx, Freud, and others who had and still have fierce critics in the West. Second, at the very time as the anti-colonial movement was drawing inspiration from the history of struggles in Europe, Claude Lévi-Strauss was transforming the Western understanding of civilization by studying other cultures, just as Leibniz had extensively studied Chinese language, law, and politics in his quest for enlightenment. So in other words, what he's saying is, good ideas come from great thinkers, no matter what the culture. Nonetheless, and he says, well, European, before you accuse me of Western paternalism, which is basically saying the West as the father, mother, as the creator of all good, okay, and also the West as the best possible guide for enlightened people. Let's look to the West, and they will provide us the guidance, right? He's saying that the ideas developed by European thinkers are not Western ideas, because the anti-colonial movement was led and was inspired by Karl Marx, for instance. That's not a Western thinker. That's an enlightened thinker. Karl Marx, you can say what you want, but, you know, Karl Marx was anti-colonial. Freud and the leaders of the French Revolution. It is on the ashes of that fundamentalism as we know it emerged. The ashes of this Nada, N-A-D-H-A, which is the attempted enlightenment of the Muslim culture. It is on the ashes of that fundamentalism developed. I say or emerged. I say emerged because we should not be fooled by the fundamentalists who claim to restore Islam in its original purity. The ideology they promote, literal, violent, legalistic, narrow-minded, otherworldly, is a radical novelty in the history of Islam. It is the dramatic perversion of a culture. So how did such a perversion take place? All right. I would recommend you read this. Like I said, the guy kind of falls all over himself trying to falls all over himself trying to you know, rationalize, you know, but that's okay, man. I mean, look, if you've got people, you need to convince people. You have to be, you have to speak their language, and you have to anticipate their criticisms and their, and you have to anticipate their questions. You have to make sure they understand you. And the first thing you got to do before you get them to understand you is to put what you're saying into a context that they'll at least be open to. Wait a minute, before you think I'm not going down the Western paternalism road, and I'm not going down the George Bush road, and I'm not going to, you know, and whether or not we agree with that, we have to, here's a guy that's trying to talk to his liberal friends, his progressive friends, and he's trying to get them to, you know, understand what he's saying. So, read this. I'll give you the guy's name again. It's called the publication, the website is called Mediapart, M-E-D-I-A-P-A-R-T. It looks like it's a French site. There's a lot of French on the site. And this is an article called On Charlie Hebdo, A Letter to My British Friends. And it was written by Olivier, O-L-I-V-I-E-R, Tonneau, or Tonneau, T-O-N-N-E-A-U, Tonneau, that's, yeah, T-O-N-N-E-A-U. Very literate, very reasoned, extremely articulate, very specific. You know, he says, we've already heard the Prime Minister, Manuel Valls, announce that France was at war with terror, and it horrifies me to recognize the words used by George W. Bush. We are all trying to find the narrow path, defending the Republic against the twin threats of fundamentalism and fascism. But and he, then he goes on to say, but fundamentalism is a form of fascism. Defend the Republic, that is the Republic of France. But I still believe that the best way to do this is to fight for our Republican ideals. Equality is meaningless in terms of austerity. Liberty is but hypocrisy when elements of the French population are being routinely discriminated. But fraternity is lost when religion trumps politics. And by the then he goes on to say, by the way, it's been pointed out to me that if I say Republican, you may think I mean it in the American sense. I don't mean that. I mean in our French sense. Okay, good. Okay, so that all of the guy's equivocations aside, it's a really good article. And it's an honest article by a progressive liberal who, nonetheless, understands the absolute tyranny of these fascist Islamists and is saying so and is trying to talk to his friends about that. And these motherfuckers, like in Al Jazeera, that were trying to, that really, I can't believe they're serious, but they were really getting, well, insultism? What the fuck is insultism? You call insultism satire? We're defending free speech? Is insultism free speech? Wait a minute, motherfucker. Going into an office, what we're talking about here is the murder of those men in that office, okay? So let's keep our fucking eye on the ball. Fuck you and what you think you need, motherfucker, when it comes to your goddamn insultism or the fucking profit or any of that other shit. We'll get to that shit in a minute. But you just fucked all of that up, motherfucker. I mean, at least these guys did. They fucked it all up for you when they walked into that office and they murdered all those men. Because all your goddamn problems with whether there's a cartoon of the prophet or not, you gotta wipe my fucking ass with your goddamn problems. You just fucking went out and murdered some people. So guess what? Your moral high ground, man, just got pulled out from underneath you. I don't give a shit. You know, I don't. Man. So what are we gonna do the show tonight? See? That's the whole thing. What kind of satire do I want to do tonight, you know?
And that's why I was thinking about, you know, the Tom Catton's health wagon and the Islam hour. I thought, well, if we talked about Muslim, I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? Have you had lunch at this Iranian restaurant? The pickled, I don't want to be friends with any Muslims anymore. I don't, they scare me. I'm afraid I'm going to be shot by them. And so, unfortunately, I won't allow my daughter.
I loved it when Ted Bell, he knocked the fucking, He put his fist through his daughter's radio when he heard A Whole New World by Aladdin, you know, from the Aladdin soundtrack. Excuse me. Look at that. Troy Donahue's on Angie Dickinson and Troy Donahue. Barf.
Yeah, you know, this has really got a lot of us upset. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to, the health way, I don't recommend any Middle Eastern foods that originate in Arab countries where there is predominantly a Muslim. Now, that may sound very petty of me, and it also may sound bigoted, but I don't think so. Right now, I just want to take care of this problem. I'm not going to eat anything that originated, for instance, salads, lamb, none of that shit. Whew.
You know, you sound like a fool. Do you know that you sound like a fool?
I don't care what I sound like.
You sound like a total fool. You know, you have to understand that...
I'm going to tell you something right now. Oh, man. All right, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll do our thing here tonight. But we'll do. That's what we're going to do, man. Just do my fucking thing. All right, you ready? Are you ready, Teddy? Because I'm fucking ready. What do we got going on here, man?